Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Blaze Your Own Trail podcast. My name is Jordan Mendoza. I'm your host, and I've got a very special guest today. Her name is Linda Kim, and I'm going to have her tell you who she is and what she does today.
Yeah, so I am from Seattle originally, but I am now currently based in Orange County, California, and I just had a background of being in the 9-to-5. I was an in-tech creative director, climbed the ladder for so many years, got laid off a couple times. And I ended up at the end pursuing my own business. I created a Airbnb arbitrage business after I hired a coach, scaled that, left tech forever. And now that's pretty much my main job is Airbnb passive income. I'm a coach. I help other people create their own Airbnb business. And I also have a company where I design Airbnbs.
Appreciate you giving that context. And I didn't know you were a fellow Pacific Northwester. Portland. I lived in Portland for 19 years and
Whoa.
I spent a little time in Kirkland, Washington. Big Seahawks fan. Go Hawks for all our Seahawks fans that are listeners out there. Very cool. So let's take this. My favorite part of the show, Linda, is really taking a rewind. I like to get deep context into our guest story and journey. So you born and raised in Seattle?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And so what kind of kid were you back then? Like, what'd you get into? Were you into like academics? Were you into sports? And we're talking elementary, middle, and high school years.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. It was a pretty stable life. I actually didn't do a lot of sports. I didn't do any sports. I actually wish that my parents put me into activities, but they didn't. I don't know if it's like a generational Korean family thing, but they immigrated from Korea and they were in the same post office job for 30 years. And so it was very routine. I used to go roller skating a lot. I don't know if that counts, but and I was in a small town. But Apollo Ohno, he's a like 8-time Olympian. I grew up with him, and so it's funny. We went to this skating rink, but yeah. So that was my childhood. I used to draw a lot. I was very artistic and read a lot of books. Not very exciting.
That's good. So in high school, so you weren't into the sports side, academics. Did you focus more on that? And then, you know, what did that lead into after high school? Did you go to college? Did you have aspirations to do something else?
Yeah. So I always knew that I wanted to do design or art. All I knew was that. So I ended up just taking classes in graphic design, interior design, trying to find my path. And it took me a while to find what I wanted. So I actually didn't go to college till like a couple years later because I was exploring what I wanted to do. So I ended up taking graphic design and I went to like UW, University of Washington, and ended up leaving actually because I found another program that would take 2 years versus four. So I took that and right out the gate, I just pretty much started in the advertising industry, agencies, you know, tech, Microsoft, Amazon. I did the whole like traditional 9-to-5 path.
And so what did you enjoy about it as you first got in? Was there anything you enjoyed about the 9-to-5, the corporate path, or did you quickly find out that it wasn't your thing?
Yeah, because I've met some people that felt like from the beginning, they're like, I can't do a 9-to-5, just not for me. But for me, I think because that's just how I grew up. I felt like, oh, that was the goal, was to get into a good job in the 9-to-5 corporate tech or whatever we had in Seattle. So I think by the time I got into that ad agency, it was a pretty big ad agency. I was so excited because I felt like, oh my God. Because before then, I was just working at random stores. So, you know, for me, it was a big accomplishment. But over the years, I felt like it's just climbing the ladder, trying to, you know, getting laid off, finding another job and going through 20 interviews and that whole process and feeling like the last place I was at, it was a gaming company and I had made it to director level and I felt like, oh, I want to make more money. But then I asked for a raise and they're like, oh, you know, go take this 3-4 month program and maybe we'll give you one. And so it's very, you know, operational based on what they say. So I actually took the program, I got the raise, but then I felt like, oh, I'm still not making enough. That's when I hired the mentor. I was like, I'm going to find a way to make my own money on the side at least.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I felt that way a lot too. I was with the same company 15 years. It was a property management company. I started on site, you know, leasing and went to an assistant and became a property manager. And after 5 years, went to corporate, but it was just the same thing. It's like, I got a 3% raise. There was always talks about promotions and they're like, invest in yourself and get this. And then every time it would come, they would always give it to somebody else. I don't know if you felt like that. It's like, like I'm busting my tail. I'm at value. There should be an exchange of value here. And I just see that. And it sounds like you were on a very similar path to that. So what made you, outside of being frustrated, like what made you open up your checkbook and say, I need to write a check to somebody. I need to invest in future me, because this was not the way that your parents saw it, right? They were 9 to 5, comfortable, let's save for retire. Like that. This is like the path that they laid out for you. So what made you decide to blaze that trail?
I love that question. And you made me realize something too, because yeah, my parents were not very growth minded, obviously, you know, because that's how they were raised, was, you know, you go to get your job and you're safe. And then also my sister, she had a career, but then she left to be a stay-at-home parent. So I didn't have people around me that were actually breaking out of the box in my family and actually doing something that was outside of, you know, what we're used to doing. But I just had this intuition for a long time, and I was married at the time. So that actually kept me in my box still too, because he wasn't growth-minded. But after we split up, I think it really just came out. And I just still had the desire, and I felt like I want to do something more. And so that's really where it came from. This is like this feeling of feeling like, you know, I didn't get that extra raise that I wanted. And like you said, they actually gave someone else that I hired like a higher rate than what they were giving me. And so I started looking around and I was thinking, oh, I wonder what are some ways I can make money? I started looking online. And then that's when I came across Airbnb arbitrage. I had no idea what it was, but I just really liked the guy's lifestyle, the mentor's lifestyle. And wow, like, because you know, when you see things online, you don't know if it's really, oh, really, is it too good to be true? Like, can you really make that much money? So you have those thoughts, but I started looking into it and I felt like really resonating with this mentor. So I applied to his program thinking, you know, I probably won't hear back. I'm just going to apply. You know, what's the worst that could happen? And then he ended up messaging me, we were talking. And so that's why he's like, you know, we chatted and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. So I said yes. And I invested, you know, $35,000 into his mentorship, not knowing what would happen.
So you put in 35K, and what was the promise of deliverables for that 35K?
Yeah. So it's really tricky because I feel like coaching programs now are a little bit more, there's a lot more now, but also I feel like they're a little bit more, there's more information available to see if it might work. Nothing's guaranteed, obviously, but back then there were still coaching programs, but I felt like there wasn't a lot. I didn't have reviews. I didn't see I didn't see a lot of confirmation that my investment was going to return. Oh, so it was really just trusting that it would. So yeah, I just said yes. And I just sent the money. It was a wire. It wasn't even a credit card. Kind of crazy thinking back now. And yeah, I just pretty much went all in after that.
Okay. And what was the timeline? So you give 35K. Is this like an 8-week program? Is this a 6-month? Like how much time was this mentor going to spend with you? And then once you finished the program, what was your ROI at the end?
Yeah. So I went into it and I think I joined in the fall. And so it was about a month and a half, 2 months. So 6 to 8 weeks-ish. So it was a group of 10 people. So it wasn't just me for 35K. It was actually a group coaching. And in the end, I realized, because I think nowadays 35K, you'll typically get like a one-on-one coach. So it was a group coaching and most of the people didn't actually go on to pursue a business. So I was only one of the ones that did, because I think I told myself I'm going to make this work. And so from the second week of that program, we were supposed to go pitch and negotiate to landlords to get a property, which was the whole point. The point of the whole thing. And I just thought like, oh, you know, it's probably gonna take me at least several months to get something and make money. But I got 4 properties in that second week of the program. So the ROI was starting so fast. And I set it up in like 2 months after I joined the program. The Airbnbs were already like up and running. And yeah, made, you know, 7 figures overall since then from the $35,000 investment. So it was huge ROI. And he and I became business partners too. So yeah.
Great. So yeah, you definitely got your ROI back and it sounds like had success right out of the gate. So for people that might hear that and you know, and I know that that's not typical. Those aren't typical results, right? Like you had a desire. You're like, I'm not going back to corporate. Like, and you were like going to do whatever it took to get it, right? So you knew it was going to work no matter what, and you just pushed towards that goal. So what advice would you give to somebody? Because there's going to be people who listen to this and they go, I'm going to do that too, just like Linda. and they're going to be 2 or 3 weeks in and they don't even have a lead yet, right? Or they don't have a conversation. So what would you say to someone that gets frustration like that and like maybe hits a wall? What would you say to them so that they don't give up and they keep going?
Yeah. So I would say, because I have a coaching program too, and I have students that go through that process, I always try to remind them that everyone's journey is different. And that for me, I think it's not, obviously it takes hard work. It's not just luck, obviously, but I think I try to remind them that it's realistic too, to get your properties in with like several months. It's not always going to be so fast. And I think for me too, there was fear too, not fear, but there was obviously the unknown of thinking like, is this going to work? But I think it's really about mindset. That's how my mentorship started. So I try to go into it because he taught us, you know, don't have limited beliefs. You don't want to be, you know, base it off fear. Like, oh, what if they don't give it to me? I try to think of it like, I'm going to get one. And so I was actually still in my 9-to-5 when I was in that program. And I got laid off 3 weeks after I got my first Airbnb. So yeah, I was just doing this like, oh, I just want to create this side income. And yeah, so I had a student several months ago and same thing. She's like in the beginning, I don't know. What if I don't get one? And I just said, okay, go read this book and read these chapters. And after that, she was like, she got her properties and now she just hit $104,000 in 4 months. So I just try to guide people that, yeah, I'm sure you know, it's really about mindset and just putting the work in. Yeah.
It's especially in sales, you know, it's they're either going to say yes or they're going to say no, right? There's not a whole lot of in between. The in betweeners can fall other side of the coin. You don't really know what the outcome is going to be. And so it's about reps and it's about staying positive and it's about understanding that every no gets you closer to a yes. You
exactly.
For me, by the time I turned 22, because I did, right after high school, I got a job doing door-to-door sales. I did that for 5 years. I heard 200,000 no's before I turned 22 years old. So you think that some rejection like affects me? It doesn't. Why? Because I put myself in uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. So now the no's are way bigger now, but they feel just the same as a no did back then.
Yeah.
Right. And it's all about your perspective. You know, I tell people all the time, and this is something I heard at this conference back in 2016, we had this facilitator who was talking about customer experience. And a big part of it was, what's your mindset? Because he said that the inner game controls the outer game, right? If this is not correct, the outside world is not going to get a correct version of us. And if our version of us is skewed and we're not positive and we're not smiling and we're not looking people in the eyes, all these really soft skills that Linda, you and I both know in 2026 are missing. Mm-hmm. So if you can kind of go back to the basics is what I tell people, go and actually be purposeful in trying to connect with people, be mm-hmm. purposeful in trying to add value and help and build contextual relationships, and sales will arrive. You know, they will come.
Yeah. Yeah. 100% exactly what you said. I agree with you. Yeah. Because people can feel all that energy that you're putting off.
Yep. 100%. And it's contagious, right? And they can also feel when you're grumpy, right? Like they can feel that too.
Yeah.
And so you have to be in control. And a lot of it boils down to emotional intelligence. You know, mm-hmm. are you self-aware of like how you woke up today? Do you know that if you have a negative attitude and you go try to sell people that they can almost smell it? Like a shark smells blood in the water. It's like it's like this aura that comes off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the transition, because you started this as a side hustle. You take not a small sum of money and you go and you wire it, which, you know, hey, let's be mindful when you're sending money, right? There all these thoughts went through your head. But now hindsight's 20/20. Obviously it ended up working out. So what was the transition like from you going to the corporate folks and saying, here's my notice, like I'm out? Like how long did that transition take from you to, you know, closing those first four deals to saying, you know what, see you later, this is where I'm going?
Yeah. So I want to remind people too that I did this while I was going through divorce. I had two kids. I was in my 9-to-5. I was a director. I was in meetings. So I just want to say that because, you know, I could say I didn't have time. I could have been like, oh, I don't have time for this. But I did it. And the transition for me, I thought was going to be one day I could leave, you know, corporate. It just felt so far away. But then I was like, I'm just going to take my, you know, the step to start this now while I'm in here. And so thinking that, okay, maybe like 2, 3, 4 years I would be leaving. And I think, like I mentioned, 3 weeks into getting my properties, I got the notice that I was getting laid off. I had come back from Hawaii thinking like it was just a normal meeting. I just hop on like this on Zoom and it was like HR. I was like, what the heck? Where's everybody? And so I had no idea, obviously. So yeah, they let me go in like 2 minutes. And I was like, what the heck? I just spent, you know, almost 4 years here building this whole, helping build this whole like design company or design, you know, design organization. And so I was like, oh my God, what'd I do? And I just did what I do. I just started applying for jobs. I just like was applying, you know, running. The Airbnb was kind of passive, obviously. So, but I was still kind of working on that on the side. But I remember feeling like this feels so weird being at the gym at like 11 a.m. when I'm supposed to be at work. It felt weird at first. And so it just shows you my mindset was so programmed to be 9 to 5 working for somebody that I couldn't even enjoy myself when I had time off because I felt like so unproductive. I was like, I got to go find a job. And so I was applying for a couple months. And around that time, about, I think 200,000 people got laid off at like Google, you know, Microsoft, so many top companies that, and all my coworkers getting laid off. So at that point, I finally got an interview at Riot Games, which was a really hard company to get into. I was like, oh my God, I got an interview. And I noticed at that point, this is like a few months later, or maybe 2 months later, I noticed I wasn't even preparing for the interview. And it was 6 rounds. And I used to prepare you because I want the job. I didn't know. So I was like, I didn't even like prepare for this. And somehow I made it to the last round. I don't know how. And then I think I was very close. I almost got it and I didn't. And I was like, oh my God, I almost got this job. And now I don't even care that I didn't get it. So I just never went back after that. So now I just went all into Airbnb and totally changed my life.
So the layoffs were actually a good thing, right?
Yeah, you know, blessing in disguise.
At this point, because you know, I could just even in the timeline, you could almost see yourself transitioning into your mindset shift. You know,
yeah,
you
go from, exactly.
Like, over preparing to, yeah, I don't really care. And I think the fact that you were so indifferent is probably what got you to the end because they're like, we can't read her. Like, does she care or does she not care? Like, maybe she just doesn't care at all of this job, you know, because the difference is a real thing. Like, it works in sales. You're like, listen, I don't care if you buy this or not. Like, everyone loves this thing and they're going to use it. And then people are like, oh, I want it, right? So that could have kind of carried you to the end. But I love the fact that it, you know, very prestige place to work at in the gaming world. Not a lot of people got this. You didn't even care. And then once it was over, you didn't even care. So that was kind of like the, all right, I'm going full steam into this thing. And so how long did it take you from when you made that decision to go all in to you then partnering with your mentor and becoming a business partner?
Yeah, yeah. Because I started hitting 6 figures, I think about 5, 6 months. So it was so fast because for me to hit 6 figures in the past in tech, it took forever, so many years. I was like, this is crazy. This is actually happening. And so over time, he was like, oh, your property is like the nicest one in that area, the design. Because I just did it on my own and it was getting more money because of the design. And I didn't know it was going to be that powerful. And so over time, he's like, oh, I have some students or mentees. They need help with design. So I started a design business because I started getting clients. So he started sending me clients. So I would design their homes. And then now that's becoming, you know, another thing. And we've partnered just on other real estate stuff. And yeah, yeah, probably within a year, a little less than a year. Yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah. So now you have a second revenue stream, right? You had the first one was recurring kind of passive. And then now you've got one that you got referrals from. And so now to add the third layer, which we can talk about here in a little bit, is the coaching side, which you're now helping people, giving them the framework and essentially collapsing their timeline to getting to their results. So for the elephant in the room, there's going to be people that listen to this. I don't know what I'm titling the episode yet, but you know, what is arbitrage? A, because there's going to be some people that don't know what that is, and I understand it just from, you know, being a side hustler and understanding it from like the Gary V's garage sale arbitrage. I mean, you can pretty much arbitrage anything. So I'd love kind of your definition of what arbitrage is, and then talk a little bit about Airbnb arbitrage specifically? And then, you know, what is the margin range for what you do? And how much does it increase based on your design?
Yeah. So Airbnb arbitrage is when you rent it, you rent the property. So this is such a good way to get into real estate, build a business. If you don't want to do like 20% down payment, maybe you don't want to spend like hundreds of thousands of dollars to get it started. Because in my head, I was like, oh, real estate's interesting, but I don't feel like I have that kind of money to invest and not, I don't even know what I'm doing. You know, if I had no knowledge, it's not intimidating. It's very low capital. So you go rent the property, you put it with the landlord's permission, and then you're going to put that house onto Airbnb or other platforms like VRBO. And then you're charging every night versus 1 month. So there's a lot of profit in there. So you're making the profit. You just pay the rent. So you can just see like, and then you can just keep scaling it.
So essentially what I'm hearing is that potentially, depending on the market that you're in, one rental night could pay somebody's mortgage. Right? And then, and also if we're thinking about doing this in third world countries where it's like $25,000 for the whole home, like you might pay that whole home off in like 6 months or something like that, right? So I definitely see there's a lot of upside depending on the market. So the margin basically is it's untapped potential. It's all about how good are you marketing, right? Outside of what the platform is going to do for you just by being on this database that people are searching for this type of stuff. So talk a little bit about like how hard was it to set up your first listing? Had you already known about Airbnb or was everything fresh and new in your head and you just kind of had to get the instructions of, okay, here's how you set it up. Here's how you do this. Here's how you do that.
Yeah, such a great question. So I know that if I didn't hire my mentor, if I never invested in that course, I probably wouldn't even be here right now because I wouldn't have done it correctly. And I don't think I would have had the bandwidth to figure, like piece every little thing together myself. I'll look at YouTube here. And then there's things that I learned in the mentorship I don't even see on YouTube. So I know that that sped up the success of my business. Obviously, I started getting properties in week two. There's no way I would have done that on my own. And I just had a structure. So that really just learning it from strategy, pricing strategy. I learned how to list it properly all through that course. And then the design. Yeah. And to your point, I think you asked, how much does design raise your profits? It's about 30%. Which is a lot. And I've seen it in real time because I've helped houses in very saturated areas, but it has the highest occupancy and rates of you know, in that area. So design is like, yeah, super crucial.
So, and to be clear, thank you for that though. I was going to assume 30 to 50% is what it could do. And I'm sure you've probably seen it on the high end, even up to 50% if you have good design work. It's like design is like telling a story, you know. Mm-hmm. You can tell a story, and when people buy into that story, they're like, this is my space. You know, and all you have to do is, you don't need everybody, right? You don't need everybody because there's not even availability. You have 365 opportunities. So how important was it to have the right descriptions, the right SEO, the right call to actions, like all these things that we hear all these words in sales and in marketing and things like that, but taking into the context of selling a home, it's a little bit different.
Yeah. It's everything. Cause you just made me think of someone. So I also do, people will also do consultations with me if they're already a host and they feel like, oh, it's not working well anymore. They just kind of like, I help them with strategy. So I did like a one-off session a couple weeks ago and he's like, oh, and so the other side thing is, I think some people think, oh, I'm just going to go do this myself. I'll just go get a house, put some nice furniture and like, it's going to be fine. And so this shows you that's not always the case, because when he sent me his property to analyze, I was like, wow, this actually looks really nice. And I was almost like, oh, I don't even know if I have like, you know, I don't know if I have much value to add. But I looked at it and because, you know, sometimes if it's like not really well designed, you're like, oh, this is easy. You just need to go do these things. But I looked at it. And so we went through his photos, the way he was listing it, even the words he was using, and did the analysis of that area. And he used to be at 70% occupancy or almost six figures a year on that house. So it was doing really well. And he's like, oh, it dropped like 30%. And I don't know what's going on. We're doing it for charity. They're donating the proceeds. So this is for charity. And, you know, they can't do that if they don't make money. So this whole thing. And I was like, okay, you know, we went through everything. He fixed it. And 48 hours, he's like, we got $4,000 in bookings right after I talked to you. I'm like, that's freaking insane. So I was like, that just shows.
What was the missing ingredient? Was it the storytelling? Was it the maybe bringing in the fact that this was benefiting charity into it? Like, what actually made the difference?
Yeah, because he had that on there. Like, it was in the listing. But I had, I know what he did for sure was move some photos around. I kind of gave strategy in which photos to feature. And then also said, oh, like, let's bring up, you know, whatever. Let's bring up the charity thing to the top and add these things in. And I was giving some other suggestions. So, yeah.
It's great. So yeah, definitely a worthy investment. So what was that investment for him to get a consultation with you versus him collecting the 4,000? And probably since then, I'm sure he's collected more revenue.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So typically that strategy session is 1,000. I did it for a little bit less just because we were in the same community, but typically, yeah. Yeah, but he made it, obviously.
He got like, it, right? Yeah, you 3x's, 4x's ROI
plus. In 2 days.
Now he leverages that same strategy with all of his other listings. If he's got
more
listings, right? So the value continues to roll. But here's the thing, folks, because as great as Linda is and as great as I help my coaching clients, it's all for naught if you don't believe you can do it and if you don't go put it into work. Let me say that again. If you don't actually take action on the content that you get, the coaching, the frameworks, the systems, it is never going to work. And there's a lot of people out there who fall into this trap of like, I invested this money, Jordan. I paid this coach and none of it worked. And I'm like, what did you do? Like, what the heck did you do? Did you complain the whole time or did you actually go do it? And I don't mean go talk to one person or three people or 16 people. Like, how about a couple hundred thousand I talked to by the time I was 22? You know what I'm saying? And so I think there's some people in the audience that need to hear that is what you desire bigger than your excuses? Because if it isn't, you're always going to be in the rat race. You're always going to be going through the same motions. So let's talk coaching because, you know, there's going to be people that hear this and they go, man, I would love an extra, you know, 100,000, you know, added to my revenue stream. And I've got, you know, money to invest and I really believe that I can go and do this. So what does your coaching program look like if someone said, you know what, I want to accelerate my timeline and work with Linda?
Yeah. So my coaching program is for anybody. You don't have to know anything about Airbnb. I didn't know anything about arbitrage. I didn't even know what arbitrage meant. So, you know, and obviously I was in tech. I wasn't doing sales. I wasn't doing anything. So I say that if I was able to do it, anyone can do it. That's why I'm so passionate about helping people because I just love seeing them. Like it changed my life completely. Like it's unrecognizable now. And so I teach everything from mindset because like you said, if you don't even believe that you can do it, then you're probably not going to do it. So you have to start there. And so I try to cover that. And then everything from how to set up your LLC, your business website, because you're going to become a business from day one. How to pitch, how do you negotiate objections, handling objections, you know, even like pitch and tone of how you negotiate. Like you said, it's about how you feel and what you're projecting. And so it's not just what do I write on my captions? It's literally everything. So, you know, how do you look for do the research and look up the data for each city? How do you pick your best properties? And then once you get that, how do you list it, tax strategies, like literally everything. And, you know, I also teach design because most programs I notice with Airbnb, they don't teach design. I teach that because it's a profit driver. And so by the end of the 6 weeks, it's only 6 weeks, you're pretty much going to have everything you need to go and start your business and know how to scale and automate because I teach automation because that's what allows me to work, you know, a couple hours a week. And it's interesting because I thought everyone taught that. Apparently not, because I had someone else come to me like, oh, I took another coaching program and it didn't work. You know, I didn't get a property yet, but we never learned automation. I was like, oh, wow, really? Because that's why you want to do this. You want passive income. You don't want another job. And so, yeah, so pretty much I teach them everything to hit the ground running. The client that I had that just hit 6 figures in 4 months, stay-at-home mom of 5 kids. No, she hadn't been working for a while. No real estate experience. So I always say, yeah, anyone can do this.
And definitely we're going to make sure we get all the links to your coaching program, your design stuff. We're going to put that in the show notes. Now, I want to give some value to the listeners that, you know, maybe they're just like, they're hearing this and they're like, I don't know. Like, this seems a little too good to be true. So what can we give, like, what two or three tips can we give so to where those folks can say, you know what, let me go test these few things. And maybe if they work, I've got Linda's info in the show notes and I can reach out to her.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. Because I thought, because remember I said in the beginning when I was, oh, I want to make a lot of money fast. And I'm like, that sounds too good to be true. But when I looked, I first step was looking it up. Second step was like, okay, I think I'm going to do this. And now obviously 4 years in, I'm like, it still works. Because so I would also say that my coaching program, I highly recommend hiring a coach in some capacity. And I'm sure you know the power of coaching. Just, you know, there's no professional athlete that makes it to, you know, like NBA or Olympics without a coach. Same thing. You're expediting, you're saving money because you're learning faster. You're going to go get your properties faster. And I also offer a guarantee that I will work with them until they get their first property. So my coaching program is, as long as they put in the work, I will work past the date that they're supposed to get one until they do. So they feel more comfortable about it. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. It's always great to have a guarantee, you know, give a little bit of peace of mind that, hey, you're at least going to have one, right? Because the one is always the hardest, as you know, like breaking the ice, it's always the hardest. So if you can have somebody there that's holding your hand and keeping you accountable also at the same time and helping you get your time back by automating the process, like that is a win in my book. So what advice would you have to somebody out there that maybe is in the same shoes that you were? They're in corporate, they're in tech, they're in real estate, they're in this role and they feel like they're just trapped and they're there forever. And maybe they've had this inkling that they're meant for more. They've got a purpose that they want to go blaze a trail, but they maybe are just afraid to take that first step. So what advice would you leave the audience?
I would say that was me for so many years, for decades. That was exactly me. And I realized when I finally said yes, I was in my own way. And I also realized it's never going to be the right time. Like I mentioned, it was one of the hardest times of my life. And so it's really up to you to say, I'm going to do it and just take action, because you're going to be thinking those thoughts like years from now. And every year, every month that you delay it is, you know, you're taking away from your life, or that you could have made that money. Like if I obviously shoulda, woulda, coulda, but if I'd start like 2-3 years prior, I would have made, you know, that much more money or had that much more time freedom. So I would say that just try to remember that this is your life and you're never going to get your time back. So just really think about, what do I want in my life? How do I want to live it? And if you think from the place of, why am I doing this? Then you'll be more motivated to go change your life. But yeah, for someone that wasn't a 9-to-5, like my entire life, my whole family, just remember, and you are going to be the one to impact the family that you have, your kids, your families going forward. And you can set that example.
Yeah. You can be the first person to go blaze a trail.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
And do it for, because your kids, right? You've got two kids. I don't know how the ages, but they're getting to witness this version of you. They saw the previous version of mom and now they see this version. And I'm going to have to guarantee that this one, they're inspired to see it, right? They're like, wow, something has shifted, something has changed. And so if the listeners, if you want to create that type of impact, you have it in you. We all have it in us. We just have to make the decision to go and to blaze, because you can't blaze a trail when you're spinning your wheels. It just turns into burnt rubber. You know? So
yeah.
Want to blaze a trail, you have to put one foot in front of the other. And one thing I can guarantee you, just in my journey, it's going to look more like this, a bunch of zigzags than a straight line. So thank you so much for coming on today, Linda. It's been great having you on. I know a lot of our listeners are going to get inspired from your journey and they're going to see that they could also do it too. So thank you for taking some time out of your schedule to come on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. That was really great.
My pleasure.